Hi, everybody. This is Shamira Young from Zenjoyable.com, and thank you for joining us for our Pro Photographers interview series, episode number 3. Now, I have a special treat for you because today we talk with Damian Franco, past owner of a successful photography studio and current content creator and social media management specialist. Let me tell you, this guy knows his stuff about social media. He's had quite a journey and has a ton of knowledge to share about using social media marketing to your advantage for your own photography business. We hit so many good facts and tips in the interview that I actually decided to divide it into 2 episodes. So today's the first half, and episode number 4 will be the second half. So let's not waste any time. Let's get to it. Enjoy. Well, I just want to thank you, Damian, for being with us today. I'm so excited and just pumped to pick your brain. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Shamira, for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. And, you know, first of all, I just want everybody to learn a bit about you, about your background, where you come from. So just give us an overview of yourself and your photography background, as well as your background in general. And how did you end up where you are today?
So I'll try to keep it as short as I can. But I started young, as most, I think, budding photographers do. So I started studying art as a child, practically. And that carried through into what I wanted to be when I grew up. So I wanted to be an artist, right?
Okay.
Like maybe a starving artist in New York on the streets that would eventually one day get discovered by a gallery and boom, I'm super famous or whatever. And then it only lasts for a couple years. And then I fall over into a toilet of my own vomit where I've died into obscurity.
Oh, that's so romantic.
Yeah, I know. I think I was 13 when I came up with that. So... but, you know, so you come around to college, you start studying art, and then that's so really not going to happen. I mean, I'm smart enough to talk to people and figure out, okay, so after I get my art degree, what's going to happen? And it's like, oh, you're going to get a job not doing art. What? So I switch to computer science, and then I have these flash forwards, if you will, of myself in a white button-up short-sleeve shirt, you know, grumbling as I go to somebody's computer desk to fix whatever they did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of slitting my throat, I switched back over to being an artist again, and then along the way, I came across an ad that somebody was hiring photographers, and I thought, oh, well, that's how I can do art and make money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it was this little bing. And I had loved photography. I had studied all of the arts, so
okay.
I was very much that person that believed that the better drawer that you can become, the more it aids in your ability to create shapes in your paintings. You know, and if you can become a really good sculptor at the same time. Because everything at that point was leading towards painting. If you can become a good sculptor, then you understand how the 3 dimensions work better. And so you'll bring more dimensions to your paintings. And so, of course, I studied a lot of photography as well. And it came naturally to me. So I worked at a studio for a few years.
I'm just curious.
Yes.
Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
How old am I?
You don't have to answer if you don't want to.
No, it's fine. I think I'm 35.
Oh, okay.
Or something like that, yeah.
Somewhere around there.
So, yeah, I'm in my mid-30s. We'll go with that.
Okay.
And but that's what I did. I studied all the arts.
Very good.
I'm going to become a photographer. I'm going to go do photography instead of working at a liquor store while I go to college or whatever.
So your degree, was it in computer sciences or was it a Bachelor of Arts?
Actually, that's part of a funny story. So I actually didn't finish because I had back surgery.
Okay.
So, and that sort of comes a little bit in the future. But after a couple of years working as a photography studio or a studio photographer, I decided, oh well, I can. I'm really really good at this, and I can do this on my own, right? And what I'm getting paid to do this for the studio is like peanuts compared to like what some of the wedding photographers in town are doing. So that's crazy. Why am I can do this. Mm-hmm. So I did. I found another photographer because really I was at that point, I was in my early 20s. I was too scared to do it by myself. But I found an older other photographer who was just starting out in as a wedding photographer. So we partnered up, right? Mm-hmm. And which was great because we had a lot of different strengths. And so we were able to balance each other out. So it worked out well in that aspect. And we actually did a bang-up job with our studio. We were able to position ourselves in Lubbock, Texas, as a premier, as an upscale sort of contemporary art photography studio, if you will, right? So we were breaking a lot of molds. And this was, you know, this was a while back. This was about 2004.
Okay.
2005.
Mm-hmm.
And, there were not a lot of people doing what we were doing. We were using some really dramatic lighting.
Hmm.
We were doing some, and this was all in studio. We were mixing studio sessions with environmental sessions. And then we were putting together really fantastic wedding products and exclusively using like Graphy Studio books. So we were totally pitching ourselves in the high end stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Once you break into that high end market, that can be really nice as far as the money goes.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, along the way I have back surgery and, you know, it's one of those timing things where, I end up not going back to finish school, but I'm already making good enough money to where I think, well, why do I need to go back to school?
Mm-hmm.
I learned that lesson a little bit later. But but at the time, why do I need to go back to school? I've already got my own business, and we're doing really well. And but I didn't quite recover from my back surgery as well as I should have, or as well as I wanted to. I suppose it was in mine. I don't know. And so we run into this prospect where my back is essentially is randomly going out on me and can put me sort of back in bed for like 2 or 3 days. And this mm-hmm. happens like 2 or 3 times, you know, a year.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, there's a close call. And I realize that at some point, it's going to happen during somebody's wedding or the night before.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was just too big for me. So my partner and I basically couldn't agree on whether or not we would kill the wedding side. And I totally understood where he was coming from. He was like, that's the lucrative side. And it feeds so much into the studio. The way that we had everything set up, I mean, they just worked two hand in hand. And we would have to change so much of how the business was run.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically backed out and sold him my half of the studio. And he ran with it for a little while on his own and it did pretty good, I think. But we moved at that point, so we thought, well, it's time for us to move on to different. We got to figure out something. I'm not a photographer anymore.
Now,
so,
was that a tough decision for you?
Of course it was. It was. We had spent a long time building a. We had spent a long time doing a lot of guerrilla marketing
mm-hmm.
and building up a really strong and recurring referral system, you know? And so as I'm leaving, I'm thinking of like all of this hard work that you put on the front end when you weren't making any money, when I was working like 3 jobs at the same time.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, I knew it still wasn't, the money wasn't going to just like flow in on its own. There was still going to be that constant upkeep and, you know, testing different marketing and all of that kind of stuff to get clients in. But man, I could just see it because it had already started to trickle in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could see because we were very specific on ensuring that we created, you know, promotion pieces specific to, you know, either coupons or events or whatever it is that we were doing. And so we were tracking all of our marketing. And we, we sort of put all of this together, but we did a lot of research on marketing. There was a part of it during the studio when we were really lucky. Back in the 2000s and any time before then, really, if you were a photographer or a budding photographer and you went to another photographer in your area who was successful and you said, hey, can you help me out with this? They would have shut the door on your face. Actually, they would have slammed the door on your face.
Wow.
Photographers back then didn't help other photographers back then. You were competition. And it didn't matter if you were in the same price range or if you provided a completely different product. Nobody thought of it that way. It was just photographers sort of marking their territory. This is my area, and we're not going to be friends, and I'm not going to help you with anything. But we got lucky. There was another photographer who was, in every sense of the word, one of our competitors, a direct competitor. We were in an extremely similar price range. He was a little bit more expensive than us, and we provided an extremely similar product. So there was no reason for him to help us out, but he did.
Mm.
And he was genuine, and he was nice, and he would let us in on any and all of his secrets, and we would do the same. And we helped each other. And what we ended up doing, actually, was building a referral system with each other. We're basically saying, look, we can only do so many weddings. And if I'm already booked for a wedding, I know that my potential client is also likely going to be interested in your work and your pricing.
Oh,
so if I'm
nice
already booked,
setup.
I'm going to send them to you. Mm-hmm. And if you're already booked, can you send them to me? And we did.
You know, I guess that's something that at least I know I've taken for granted, and I'm sure other photographers have as well, as far as reaching out to other people within your industry and them being willing to help you. Because today, at least in my experience, when I ask another photographer for help, they're always very forthcoming with their information and what they know.
Yeah.
And even contacting people for these interviews, you know, you're a great example where you responded back and said, hey, let's do it. And it's something I really appreciate.
Yeah. No, see, and it's such a new thing, and it really, and as weird as it's going to sound, I honestly think that it was blogs that did that.
Mm-hmm.
Because before then, I mean, you couldn't go. You talk to any photographer that was running a business before, say, 2001, 2002, and they'll tell you they got no help from anybody before. And in fact, that's where most of the the early bloggers, the early photography bloggers, I think that's why they did it. That's why I did it.
Yeah, so, speaking of blogs, I do want to make sure that you talk about you had a blog that received quite a bit of attention at one point, a photography blog.
Yeah, so we I sold my half of the studio and had to get into the, we'll call it the big boy world. Had to get a real job. So I had a wife and a kid at this point, and so I get a, one of those career jobs, if you will.
Yeah.
And, but it wasn't anything I was interested in. In fact, I was bored to death at work, and it was, without going into industry or career or, job or whatever, it was an extremely data intensive, like, for lack of a better term, I was a data analyst.
Okay.
And so I needed a creative outlet. And at some point I thought I'm going to eventually get back into photography.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. I don't know, in what capacity. Maybe I just do a studio without weddings. Because I can, if my back goes out, I can rebook a studio session. But, you can't just rebook somebody's wedding. So there was always that possibility. I don't know. I wanted to keep my chops. And so I started a photography blog. And I wanted to, and I did it because I thought, this other photographer really helped me out. Maybe I can help other photographers out. I started reading other photography blogs, and there were, a handful of really good ones, and they were all very forthcoming. And I honestly didn't think it was going to do anything. I honestly thought that nobody was ever going to read my blog.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly thought, really, that I didn't care. It was just a way for me to keep sort of this knowledge fresh in my head for maybe, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road when I was ready to get back into it, that at least I would have like this sort of portfolio of, I've still been in the industry and I'm, you know what, it just sort of made sense to me to do it.
Now, what year did you start your blog?
So I started that in 2008.
Okay.
And it was called Your Photo Tips. And so what it kind of got crazy in a good way. I'm not like what I would consider a really good writer, and I still don't consider myself a good writer, to be perfectly honest. And I've probably over since then have written well over like say 10,000 articles or so, just on so many different platforms. But I still don't consider myself a great writer, and people responded. I think they responded originally to the openness, to my willingness to be clear and transparent and honest. And also wasn't, I wrote all my articles in a very conversational tone.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of always had this, like, let's say I'm just talking to one person and I'm just trying to explain like one little thing about whether it's like how to become a better photographer or something that you can do with marketing on photography or running your business on photography, stuff that nobody ever told me before.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how that came about. And it just kind of, it went kind of crazy. It got really, really big. I started getting all sorts of little awards from, you know, just sort of other industry sort of specific blogs. And then I started getting awards from internet wide, like internet big awards. And I got to a point where I gotta do something with this, because it's essentially, I mean, it's a gold mine mm-hmm. for somebody.
Yeah.
So I thought I've gotta bring people on, or I'm gonna sell it or something. All of a sudden I've got like 4 people that are interested in buying it all at the same time. I sold it to Barnes & Noble to add to their Sterling Publishing product line. And so we merged.
Nice. The Your Very Photo nice.
Tips. Yeah. It, you know, it was great. I went with Barnes & Noble because I thought, oh, they're big. They'll be around forever. So we merged it with Pixic.com, which was their photography website that was designed to push sales for their photography line of books. Along the way, they asked me to become the online editor, if you will, somebody who manages all of the contributors, somebody who does all of the social media for the website.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
And, you know, all of that kind of stuff, which was really great because, I mean, obviously I had been doing, well, I guess I shouldn't say obviously because I didn't mention any of that, but it's what I was doing with Your Photo Tips.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple of other contributors on there, and we were really pushing social media usage. I think at the time that I sold Your Photo Tips, we had like 27,000 or something like that, fans or followers on Twitter for the Your Photo Tips blog.
Mm-hmm.
So, and at that time, you know, this is 2011, and that was a really big number.
Yeah.
Back in 2011. And those were when, you know, prospects are coming to buy a property, an internet property, and I'm sort of throwing that number of followers to them, their eyes get really big. Like, mm-hmm. whoa, that's big.
Yeah.
We did. We had a huge Flickr group. We had everywhere where photographers were, we were there. And we were talking to them, we were engaging with them, and driving traffic back to our website. And but mostly we were just helping.
And so it sounds like then you guys were pushing social media quite a bit to market your website.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's really something a lot of photographers tend to overlook with their businesses. I know not all photographers have blogs, but it's pretty much standard to have your own website these days if you want to be taken seriously as a photographer. And from the photographers that I talk to just every day, and including myself, many of us will admit that we don't take the time to market ourselves as much. We would much prefer to be out doing what we do best, which is, you know, taking nice photos. But listening to your story, it sounds like marketing, you really use that to your advantage. You got some pretty serious attention because of it.
Yeah, you know, and so that this really does sort of go back all the way to when I had the photography studio. We spent such equitable little time in the studio when there were no customers. Like, if we didn't have anything booked, the studio was essentially probably locked up, and we were not there. We were at networking events, we were at business lunches or breakfast, or we were out talking to restaurants about putting our photographs up in their space. We had created a, we'd created sort of this restaurant crawl, if you will, where we would put up a either on the walls of the restaurants, or we would, we sort of made these almost homemade, but really nice looking, you know, we'd get wood and we kind of created this, kiosk, if you will, painted it like really nice black and everything like that. And we'd put our pictures up. We'd put 16 by 20, unmatted frames, because we wanted them big, but as small as we could. So we could put as many of them as we could on the kiosk. And so we would have like, we'd partner up with restaurants and say, hey, we'd like to put these photos of our clients to promote our business, but what we're going to do is we're going to swap these around. We're working with all these other restaurants, and what we'd like to do is include you. And so what happens is when we move this photograph of the Jones family, we're going to take it from, Lola Cafe, and we're going to bring it over here to your restaurant. And when we do that, and then plus the other five that we bring with it, we're going to email those clients and say, hey, your pictures just went over from Lola Cafe to your, this restaurant over here. We'll call it, we'll call it Aperture Coffee Shop. And which is funny because there used to be one here in Houston. We're going to email all of the clients whose pictures we move over to your restaurant and let them know that they're here, and they're going to come over here and they're going to bring their families, and they're going to, so are you cool with us doing this? Can you find a spot for us to do this? And we're going to bring you some people. It's not a whole lot, but it's some people into your restaurant who either haven't been here before or haven't been here in a long time. And almost all of them would say yes, you know, who were able, like who we were able to get in front of. That was our sort of like little network marketing kind of thing, where we were able to get our pictures in front of a whole bunch of different local people, and we were being very specific about the restaurants that we were picking. You know, we wanted to target like middle class to upper middle class restaurants, because that was sort of our target demographic. So they're a little bit more expensive, but not, you know, not coat and tie expensive. And and that was one of our biggest marketing things.
You know,
we got our pictures everywhere around town.
The wheels in my brain are spinning right now. I have not heard anyone ever come up with this idea before. Not saying that it hasn't been done. It probably has been somewhere, but this is the first time I have ever heard anyone discuss this type of marketing idea before. That is so unique and creative. And how effective is that? It benefits the restaurant, but it also gets you exposure as well.
Yeah. And wow. But not only that, right? Because there's that win-win between us and the restaurant.
Yeah.
Our clients loved it. They loved it. Their family picture was being paraded all around town. And we honestly thought that they would just, like, go there themselves to see it.
Yeah.
Maybe take, like, you know, grandma or whatever. What we found was actually that they were emailing, like, everybody about them. And we could see this through our email client. that when we would send these emails to him, because we weren't using our own email.
Okay.
We were using an email client that managed all of our, you know, all of the emails. We were sending, because we had these groups together. So it was just like, oh, just one email to this. I think we had them color-coded, so the purple group just moved from this restaurant to this restaurant.
So kind of like AWeber or MailChimp or something?
I can't remember what we were using. It's not a company that exists anymore. But yeah, okay. It was basically one of those. It was just a regular email client. But it would show us like how many times emails would get forwarded.
Mm-hmm.
It would get forwarded and forwarded like crazy. Like they were sending them to their coworkers, or they were sending them to their whole families or whatever. And they were really proud. They were they took this as like an honor.
That's the coolest idea.
Graded around town. It was so cool.
Oh, that's so neat. Yeah. Wow. Okay. This is not a question that's in my outline, but have you considered writing a book about your social media and marketing tips and experience? I mean, it sounds like you've done some really unique things. And you've invested a lot of time and effort to put your photography business out there, and even your blog, which went big when you were not currently even doing photography. And that says a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's kind of crazy. You know what's weird? I get, I've talked to a couple publishers about a book. One of them came to me, and then I talked to another one just off chance. I'm self-conscious about it, to be honestly, and it's not about the writing.
Really?
I worked obviously in a publishing. We're working with Sterling Publishing. I got to see like the discrepancy between what a published author writes and actually how it comes out. So I was able to see like how well editors can polish things up. But it's like this idea that like who am I to be writing a book on stuff like this? I'm not even a quote unquote professional photographer anymore.
Oh, you need to get over that. Oh.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not mentally there yet. It's weird.
Well, if you do write a book, let us know.
Okay, I can do that.
Because that is something that'd be great.
But I think we were talking about,
you know, let me move us along here.
Okay, sorry.
And really, no, this is good stuff, because I really do, I really enjoy picking your brain about social media. This interview is a little bit different than the interviews that I've done up to this point.
Sure.
But social media is huge. And if you're running any kind of business, you cannot ignore it. So really, just give us some basic strategy tips for incorporating social media into our photography business. How do the two relate? Social media and photography. Well, and marketing.
Okay. Those are great. So I think sometimes what ends up happening is if you look at social media from a pure marketing perspective,
mm-hmm.
and you sort of think, okay, I'm going to be able to use Twitter or Facebook or Google+ to market my studio or my wedding business or whatever it is. And then you go up there and you start, you know, putting links to your stuff, or maybe you start throwing that you've got sales, or you know, book now for 10% off of your next session or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's really all you do from the get-go, especially if that's what you do from the very beginning, then you're not going to gain traction.
Okay, folks, that's the end of the first half. Make sure you listen to the second half of this interview in episode number 4. Thanks so much.